You think about honor, you think about a lot of things, because honor is taking the time to recognize the value of someone who's placed in our lives, who touches our heart, speaks to us in unique and powerful ways. And this, a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to fellowship with two of my friends, both of them very successful, very accomplished in their worldly pursuits. But I wanted to ask them a question. One of the questions I asked was, if it came down to someone you would honor, who would you choose? And it's interesting because for both of them, they both said, we would honor our mother. And so I began to probe that question, and I asked my friend who had obviously accomplished a lot in his life, I said, tell me this, tell me about your mother. And he began to tell the story of Lorena. And it was interesting because as the story unfolded, the sharing that was being told was amazing, because what I heard coming out of his mouth were the principles and promises that had set in motion his entire life, because his mother understood that being in the Lord's house was an amazing step for any of her children, and so she made sure that he and his brother were in church. And it's interesting, he made a couple of profound statements that tie into our message today, because today as we look at what it means to choose to honor someone in search of honor, we look at the gift of parents. And we'll find ourselves today in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you open your Bible there to verses 1 through 4, you'll find an amazing text where it's very clear that those promises are distinctly written to guide us by way of thought and understanding what it means to honor. And so, as a result, I asked my friend, tell me this, what about your mother that made the greatest impact? And it's interesting what he said. He said, my mother took me to church, but it was not that I was the place I was at, but it was the person I was with that made the eternal difference in me. Now think about that for a second. It was not the place that I was at, but it was the person I was with. And I want you to imagine today, if you could go back and reprogram your life into different moments. And it's interesting because my friend said, there's only one regret I have in my life, and that was being so busy, I didn't take enough time to interact with my mother at the level that I really wanted to. So I want to admonish and challenge all of you that if your mother still lives, make sure you take the time to interact with her and spend time with her and speak to her. But it's interesting what my friend went on to say. He said, not only was it the person she was, he said, I never heard her say a negative word in my lifetime. And she became the bridge to my faith. And as I was listening to him share about this particular relationship, it helped me understand just how significant someone can be in our lives. It speaks into our heart in a powerful and profound way. And so when you think about that in your own life, what are the ways that we honor our parents, those who come into our lives? And I can remember so vividly different moments in my own upbringing with parents and grandparents and others who were part of that story of my life. And I want you to think about it for a second. What if you had the chance to say something to someone that was so profound they would never forget it? Perhaps express your love in a way that you never have before. And listen carefully. You don't want to save all your words for after they're already gone. You want to figure out how to offer honor to them. Because interesting, when you look at the word honor, it's defined very uniquely because it has to do with esteeming and valuing something as precious. Esteeming and valuing something as precious. And it's interesting because if you were to look into my life story, my office at home, my study at home, you would find treasures that are there that have no value to anyone but me. For example, I have on my shelf a coffee grinder. I don't even drink coffee. So it's not like I'm in need of a grinder to create coffee for me. But it has a little drawer in it. And through all these years, I would always stick little things in that little drawer, and I keep it up very high so no one can grab hold of it and pull it down and take all the little stuff out. But it came from my grandmother, and it stood out to me because my grandparents were the kind of people, they would brew coffee, but then my grandfather would pour the coffee in his saucer and drink it out of his saucer. All right? How many of you have a relative that actually drank coffee that way? Let me see your hand. All right. How many of you never had a relative drink coffee that way, ever? Well, it was another era of time, another generation, but it's interesting. I'd watch my grandfather and watch my grandmother, and they would And by the way, the reason he did that was to cool the coffee quicker so they could enjoy it, I guess. But I never could understand it except the fact that grinder had a particular place of significance. Now, if you went to the other side of the shelf in the same study, you'd find a candy dish there that is full of candy that none of which is consumable. Or I guess it could be consumable, but it'd probably not be the best thing because it's hard candy from a long time ago that's merged together over time. But when I take the lid off of it, I'm reminded of the sacrifice of a grandmother who during the Great Depression would miss every meal necessary in order to feed people who were walking in the Great Depression with nothing to eat. And when I think about that candy dish, that was sometimes the only thing she had to go into to find a little bit of sustenance to carry her forward to the next day. So when we learn to esteem something and value it as precious, I want you to imagine that for a second. There are just certain things that are just so precious to it. It can be a Bible that we have that is a legacy of someone who's a part of our story. It could be something else that to other people would have no value or significance. But for you, because you chose to honor who it is that God's placed in your life, it has great significance. So my challenge for you today is think about this. What if on this day you're in search of a way to honor those who God has put in your life? And for example, for many of you, just like my sweet wife whose mom's been in heaven a long time, what you do in honoring them now is you reflect the most precious characteristics of who they are to anyone else who sees you. When I see my wife at times, I see her mother. And it's amazing to see that because her mother was an amazing godly woman. And see the reflection carrying forward. And so if you think about it, for all of a sudden honor becomes a part of our story. And all of a sudden we begin to look and see what Paul says here. Because notice what he says, children, obey your parents. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Obviously, what Paul does here is he takes the fifth commandment and he brings it to light in light of understanding what the word honor is all about. And today I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about it between now and Father's Day, because this series will start today, carry all the way through to Father's Day, and we'll recognize dads on that particular day. But I want you to think about what he says here, because he makes it very clear. How do we discover honor? Honor comes as we humble our hearts, and as we humble our hearts, we begin to hear him speak to it. And as we humble our hearts, all of a sudden, we start gaining insights in the best way to honor those God has put in our life. And so, we humble ourselves. And watch this. The pathway to anything honorable is humility. Because if you understand humility, you'll understand how to honor. Because that's why we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he could exalt us in due time. That's what Scripture said. What's that verse all about? It's about us coming to an awareness that as we choose to honor and bless those who God's put in our life, we start seeing more and more how to discover our heart to accomplish what he intended. And I can tell you this, every person in here, if you want to find the story of what makes the greatest impact in your life, you show me the people who are humble, and I'll show you the people you'll honor. Because what humility does, humility says, you know what, that person understands where they came from, they understand where they're going, and it sets in motion their life to have a testimony that's powerful and profound. You see, we don't think about proud people in our lives much. We don't sit around saying, you know, I really want to think about that proud cousin I had or that proud... No. We think about those who are humble and their humility stands out and says something to us and causes us to want to honor them. So, to honor is to esteem and value as precious. In other words, it has something significant and powerful and meaningful. And I've told this story before. It was one of my funniest stories in my earlier years of pastoring. I used to joke around a lot more than I do now. And so, one day, this young lady came walking down the hallway at the church, and she was walking like this, kind of, you know. And so you know what she's trying to show you. She's trying to show you her ring. And so I was like, wow, that's so nice. And I said, you know, isn't it amazing that they can make zirconia just like diamond? And you should have watched her face. Her face is like, I'll kill him. I'm going to jewelry store tomorrow to find out if it's real or not. And the guy was behind her, and he was like, I'm going to kill you. You are dead. And I got so tickled because I thought, the truth of the matter is, they didn't know each other well enough even at that point to think, well, maybe it is a fake. And because it was a big diamond, by the way. Back in those days, you couldn't get those big boys very often. So I was like, man, he really stepped up because those are attorneys, they cost $200. And she's like, $200? And so needless to say, it was a moment because I kept thinking, at some point he's going to punch me. But until he does, this is a great moment. Because I wanted to teach her, you know the truth is, whether it was zirconia or whether it was a real stone, it was not whether it was a diamond or not a diamond. It was that somebody loved you enough to honor you, to bless you, and put something in your path that would cause you to go, you know what, he's mine. I'll share life with him. And so, needless to say, I could tell you lots of other moments like that, but the truth is, I was trying to illustrate something for you, and that is, what's precious to us is not sometimes some valuable thing that stands out to us. It could be something that our grandmother passes on to us or someone else gives to us, and we hang on to that as a treasure in our life. And I know for me, there's just certain things that are very big treasures to me that I hang on to all the time. But what Paul does in Ephesians chapter 6, remember, he's already given all kinds of instruction through the first five chapters about what kind of life they're supposed to have, that they're going to live by grace, that they're saved by grace, that they're going to face battles and challenges. But when he gets to the sixth chapter, he succinctly brings to light four very distinctive thoughts. I want you to see these very quickly on Mother's Day that I hope will help you think about honor and how you bring honor into the lives of those that come your way. Look, if you would, first of all, at verse 1. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so the first thing I want you to see is the responsibility of every child, of all the children. Doesn't matter, by the way, when he says child, he's not talking about just a little kid. Talking about anyone who's a child born into someone's life. And he's talking about the responsibility of every child, and that is to have obedience in your heart. Obedience in your heart, because here's what happened. When I choose to be obedient in my heart, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to take the right step. And I want to ask you to think about this for a second. Do you remember at moments when you were asked to do something and your first thought was, I really don't want to do that, but then you thought, you know what, I need to be obedient. I need to take care of that task. I mean, I can tell you, I was a high school junior when my father gave me a task that was the most unbearable task you can imagine. He gave me the task of painting outside of our home. And me not being very gifted in the idea of how to paint stuff, etc., it was torment to me. But I knew something. I knew I needed to obey and honor him and the request that he made. And I can remember I would chip away paint, old paint, and I'd paint. And we live in this little bitty small house in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and it wasn't like it was a lot of wood, but it was a lot of wood in 105-degree weather. And I would be sweating soaked. And it's interesting. My dad would walk out with a cup of coffee in 105. He'd walk out, and he'd hold that cup of coffee, inspecting. He was a military guy. He was inspecting. And so he would come and say, son, I think you missed a spot right there. And at that moment, it was everything in me not to be dishonoring, because I wanted to throw the paint and the brush at him, because he would quickly slip back into the house, say, okay, I'll come back, check later. And while I'm still painting away, but I learned something, because sometimes a menial task is what teaches you how to do a great task later. And so I want to challenge everyone here. If someone asks you to do something, don't immediately say, that's beneath me. It may be above you. You need to stop and say, you know what, I need to do that in order to make a difference in the life of the person who is a part of my story, especially if it's our parent. So he says here, it's our responsibility to obey. And so when you start thinking about that, you start thinking about what is right. And what is right, and I want to show you four what is rights to think about, all right, because these will help you. What is right is to obey and honor those that God puts in our life. And in this very room, I got some friends who have honored their parents. Their parents lived into their 90s and above, and they honored them every moment. I had a reflection time with one of them just recently, and it blessed me because of the grief that he felt because his mom was not doing well and near the end of her journey. But it also blessed me because he chose to honor her and to always revere her as a gift from God. And so he says, first of all, in verse 1, children, obey your parents, for this is right. And you'll notice, I want to point out a couple of things to you. That word obey there has to do with listening and respecting. Listening and respecting. Because the truth is, if you teach your children how to obey your voice, then what happened? Then there are a lot of choices they're not going to make. They're going to hear your voice. You know, I shouldn't do that. I just read the story that last night in preparation for the message today, and it was a story of a girl who had made tons of mistakes, as a teenager and as a young adult. And when interviewed and asked the question, why did you make so many mistakes? She said, because my parents never told me what was right or wrong. They never told me, hey, this is not a good choice. She said, so I thought everything was okay. Listen, when you listen to the Lord speak to you and you learn how to honor your parents, and as a parent, let me challenge you, tell your kids what's right, what's wrong, and bless them as a result of it. Look on, though. But, and so he says in verse 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. The second thing I want you to think about is this. It's the blessing of yielding to those that God puts in our life. The blessing of yielding our lives, because that you, when you recognize who is in your life. For example, let me give you a classic story. All right, for me, I grew up in a home where alcoholism took away a lot of direction and peace and joy of the place. I grew up in a home where it was challenging at times to contend with the different variables that were part of our story. And I can remember, though, always knowing that I needed to recognize something. I needed to recognize that what God does, he doesn't do mistakes. So he sometimes puts us in environments that would be more challenging, we would choose. And everyone here probably, in fact, there's several in this room I know that would say, you know what, man, my environment was challenging. And then some of you sit there and say, you know, my environment was fantastic because my parents were loving and godly and faithful. Whatever the environment, the key to it is recognizing that you need to yield to the promise that he uses here. And what does he do? He goes to the fifth commandment because the fifth commandment says something really good comes out of this story if you're willing to recognize what it is God's done for you. He's given you a blessing. He's given you a blessing. And for my father, it's interesting because I look back at my father's story and the very last conversation my father ever had with me, he asked me for one of these Bibles, a Bible. And I can remember thinking, you know what? What it is God's called us to do, he spoke into our hearts. We just have to be wise enough to recognize that. And then the blessing of recognition is you don't miss what it is he's trying to say to you because you recognize as and you yield to that promise that's there in front of you. Now, when you think about that, what's right? What's right about that is it. What's holy is a person who all of a sudden starts following this command and says, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless those who are in my life in such a way that I live a holy life. So what's right, what's holy, is that I understand how to honor my parents. And it's interesting because my father was not a happy person as a whole. And my mother was not happy for a long time because my mother didn't know the Lord. And listen, without Jesus, it's hard to be happy. And I can remember looking at how unhappy they were. And that's probably one of the things that so inspired me when I met Cindy, because her home was happy and my home was not. And I'll never forget, I'm a teenager, I'm in high school, and one day my dad comes walking down the hallway with a gun. And he said, I'm going to kill somebody. And I was thinking, okay, he was obviously inebriated, he was obviously out of sync with what life was all about. I said, Dad, you can't do that. He said, yes, I can. I said, no, you can't. I said, because number one, you have to come through me. And I'm not going to let you do that. Because I recognized something, and my father made a choice like that, that what consequences would also come to him and everyone else. And I can remember thinking, man, I have a lot on my plate for a kid in high school just trying to figure out how to pass math. I mean, it was a difficult time for me. But I can remember sitting there saying, Dad, you're not going past this hallway. And thank God, by the way, we live in a real small house, because there's only one hallway in and one hallway out. And so I said, now you can give me that gun graciously, or I'll take that gun from you. And he looked at me and said, when someone's under the influence, you know, they talk like they're really something. And I said, so I snatched the gun, grabbed it. He said, why'd you do that? I said, I want to show you that you're not going to do that. And I said, you go back in your room, you stay back there, and go to sleep, because you need to sleep off. And in the morning, I'm going to tell you what you told me you're going to do today. And he looked at me very strangely, and he said, you are? I said, yes, I am. And I can remember thinking, the only way I can honor my father is to keep him from doing something that he'll regret the rest of his journey. And what you and I need to learn is this. When we learn how to understand the commandments, the promises God gives us, even in our most adverse circumstances. Why do I tell you that story? I've never told that story before to anyone. But I tell you that story to tell you that when you understand why God puts you in an environment with who he puts you with, then you understand how to honor him in the right way, and you rejoice in God's blessing in the midst of trying to do that. And so for me, it was quite a challenge. But you know what? I look back and think, you know what? What was holy was I did follow the commandment. Honor my father to not do what could have been so detrimental to him. Verse 3. Look on with me. So that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. What is he? So it may be well with you. What makes us well? Joy and kindness. And so when joy and kindness and love come together, we start living for a greater purpose. So think about the people in your life that you honor. What do? They bring joy to you. They show you kindness. They bring love into your heart. You see, growing up in that environment I just described to you, which is not the most ideal place to grow up in, but it was the world that God allowed me to be a part of. And I'll never forget, though, because he would interject me at different times into my grandparents' life. And let me just say this, every grandparent here, never underestimate the impact of your life. Never underestimate it, because you have no idea how significant it could be. My grandparents, born and lived through the Great Depression, uneducated, lived in a rural part of Arkansas. But when I would go to their home, they were refuge for me. They were a place for me to be able to find peace and joy and love and kindness. And it's interesting because I think back about that. They were dirt poor, but my grandmother, before we would ever come, every time we would come, my grandmother would go to the store and buy Butterfinger candy bars, a gift from heaven for me. I love those. And I would come in, and the first thing she'd do, she'd open up these old door in her kitchen and say, look what I got you. And there was Butterfinger and other candy bars that some of them don't even exist now, but they were fantastic back then. But you know what I saw? I saw the kindness of a grandmother who had nothing. My grandfather bought fur and skins that he would sell, hides he would sell. He would fix instruments, hoes and shovels and stuff like that. And my grandfather was one of the kindest people I've ever known. He gave love and kindness to everyone he encountered, and he loved the Lord. Never saw him at the Bible opening. And I'll never forget one day, he got ran off from the place he was selling his tools. And they came and said, you can't sell your tools anymore. And he was so distraught. And I was with him that day. And so I can remember we were riding the truck, and my grandfather never said much, but I could see inside of him, he was so disappointed. But instead of letting his disappointment steal the day, he took me to the grocery store and said, I'm going to buy you a Coke today to enjoy this day. And I'm like, this is my kind of grandfather. And so there again, it's still 100 degrees or more in that particular part of the country. And I'll never forget, we walked in, and have you ever made a choice you regretted later? Well, this is when Fresca came out. And Fresca is not from heaven. It's probably not even from purgatory. It's from nothing, okay? And I'll never forget my grandfather said, you want to try something new? I said, sure, why not? I got that Fresca. It was the worst drink I've ever had. It was terrible. How many of you like Fresca? How many of you have ever had Fresca? Let me ask you that question. How many of you like Fresca? Oh, may the Lord help you. And so it was such a disappointment. My grandfather, he was smiling because he spent that nickel for me to have a Coke. I sat there and drank it. I smiled the whole time thinking, this is disgusting. This is disgusting. This is disgusting. But I wanted to honor him. And I want you to think about this when he makes this statement. So it may be well with you. So you may live long on the earth. What is wise is to live aware of the consequences that are part of our story. What is wise is to live with an awareness that every choice we make, and you know, for me personally, I understand the value of every choice, because every choice says something, makes a statement. This happened to me while Cindy and I and Abby were gone. I found myself in interaction with someone whose faith had disappeared and their heart was broken, an employee at the hotel where we were staying. And so I began to talk to her, and I said, I want to ask you a question. She'd been working at this hotel 1 year. I said, I want to ask you a simple question. Has anyone ever told you what Jesus could do for you? And she looked at me very, I said, did they ever stay here? Anyone ever tell you that Jesus could do something for you? She said, no, no one's ever told me that. But she said, my mother keeps telling me over and over again, Jesus is the key to your whole story. And she said, you know what you did today? You affirmed everything my mother has been saying to me. She said, because I walked away, and now I want to come back. And I encourage me to realize something. Encourage you. Be aware of the consequences of your choice you make. How many people have regrets because they make unwise choices, or they dishonor their parent, or they don't make a choice to honor those who God puts in their life? My challenge to you is simply this. Be sure to remember what's right. Remember what's holy. Remember what it is that God wants to do through each one of us as we think about what is wise. One final point I want you to see. And I hope that you'll think about this. So if I esteem something as precious and priceless and valuable, in other words, if I see that, for example, if you can say it, I was filling out my wife's Mother's Day card last night, and I was trying to figure out, first of all, I have to write where my wife can possibly read it. And it's hilarious watching her. When I always give her the card, but I want to watch her read it. And I write across this way, kind of, because I'm left-handed. And you can see her, she's moving that card like, trying to figure out what I was saying in that card. And many of you probably have got cards from me that you realize they were thank you notes or something, but you never knew what I really said in that because of my handwriting. And so I was watching her as she was reading this, and I was thinking about as I wrote that card last night, how do you put in words to somebody who at one point in her journey is told she can't have kids, and then God gives her kids. Then you watch her love those kids, and you watch her equip those kids. And we reflect sometimes about our early years of life when we had three kids and three services every Sunday morning and in two different locations back in our earlier days. And as I was writing that card, I was thinking, how do I put into words the value of someone who God puts in our story that becomes such a vibrant part of our story? My encouragement to you is simply this. Be aware that there's a great consequence to writing beautiful notes to people, encouraging people. And what Paul was trying to say here, you want to live long, you want to live well, you want to live, honor those that God puts in your life. One final thing I want you to see, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What does he talk about here? He's talking about the impact of discipline and instruction. What those two things do. Because they dovetail together because they're the opportunity to bring to us a peace in our life we couldn't get any other way. If you discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, what do you get? You get something amazing. So I want to challenge you to think about in your own life, what would happen if you just disciplined yourself to the degree that you accomplish what you're supposed to, and you yielded to the instruction you heard. You heard exactly what someone said to you, and you say, I'm going to do exactly what they say. I'm going to follow that instruction exactly. That's exactly where the Bible has such power. Because if you read this book and you start following the instruction, it becomes powerful. Now, the word discipline here, I want to just point out something to you. Because we think of the word nurture as a powerful word for every mom. Because moms are nurturers by nature. All right? Think about this. What is the pathway to nurturing someone? Discipline. Discipline. And so what he says here is, you want to have a nurturing relationship with those that God puts in your path, and you want to bless those who are a part of your story, then you learn how to discipline yourself and experience what it is he has for you. Because when you do, it just changes everything about your story, and it changes your life. And so what is most important here is this, is to see the amazing power of clear guidance. Because here's what Paul is trying to say. There are no do-overs. There are no reworks. Everyone put in our path for a reason to help us learn how to honor those who have come our way. And one of the greatest joys in my heart and life is to honor those that who are a part of our story, a part of who we are as a church, a part of what we're about. Because what honor does, it sees someone as precious and powerful. You take a little Mildred Hayes sitting out here. Mildred has lived lots of years, but it's interesting. Mildred says the most honorable statement to me every Sunday. And I'm so blessed that all three of her girls are here today. She will say to me, I pray for you every day. And every time I hear it, I feel so honored. Because what does prayer do? Prayer can move heaven and earth, especially from a godly woman like that. And so we all get honorable statements that come into our story, become a part of who we are. And so I want to challenge you to think about this. What would you do to honor your parents? What would you do to honor their life? And I want to end with this story. I told you I talked to two friends this week, or a couple weeks ago, about honoring. And my second friend had the most unusual and tragic story as it related to his mother. He said, my mother was one of the kindest people I've ever known, and my mother never lied to me. And it's interesting, he emphasized that several times. My mother never lied to me. And he said, the weekend before my wedding, 30 years ago, by the way, this year, the weekend before my wedding, my mother died suddenly. And he said, I was caught in two worlds at the same time. I needed to honor my mother and her departure into heaven, but I also needed to honor my bride that I'm about to share life with. And as he was telling the parallels of those stories, I got to thinking, wow, can you imagine? He esteemed as precious his mother, whose faith was vibrant and dynamic. He also saw as precious the young lady that he had chosen to spend life with. And as he told the story, and for her name was Betty, and he was telling the story, I was mesmerized by, I heard honor coming out of both things, because what he said was, my mother would want me to honor her. And so on one weekend, they had a funeral, and on the next weekend, they had a wedding. And we need to think about, in light of your life and your story, could it be that something needs to die, not a parent, but something needs to die that gets in the way of your honor, and then something else needs to come alive that establishes your honor? It could be that today he's trying to say to you, let him be everything. And if that's the case, I promise you, he'll work in your life in a fantastic way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your amazing word. Thank you for what Paul said. I pray you bless as we experience you on this day, that we would allow your word to become everything to us, that we would learn how to honor, esteem, and value as precious all those God puts in our life. I pray you bless this time that we have to respond to you. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts and help us experience the most amazing joy in our hearts because you are near us. Bless us as we yield to you, for we pray this in Christ's name.